Well, last week we were in the previous pericope, John 1, 9, and we saw day one in the narrative of the Gospel of John. In day one, John the Baptist was interrogated by the priests and the Levites, and they sought to determine his identity and determine who he was and who he said he was. And we learned that John's identity was totally consumed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this week we progress to the next day, the second day, and the focus changes from the identity of Jesus Christ to from the identity of John the Baptist to the identity of Jesus Christ. In these few verses, we have the opportunity to meditate on two things: the identity of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ was identified by John the Baptist. There's an outline in the bulletin, and these are the two main points: the identity of Jesus Christ and the identification of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. So we need to dive into this narrative and see how what the Lord reveals to us in this passage. The scene is down by the Jordan River, and John is standing with his disciples. And as he's standing with his disciples, ministering in the calling that God had given to him, Jesus comes near. As John sees Jesus walking toward him, he announces the identity of Jesus, the Christ. "This is the one that God sent me to identify. He is the one who was before me. He is the eternal one. He is the promised one for whom we have been waiting all these years. He is the one to whom you have just turned in repentance in order to seek him." See, John reveals the true identity of Jesus Christ with this glorious title that we find in verse 29: "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a title! It's such a beautiful title. Its imagery brings comfort to the soul of the sinner who knows his need of redemption. The title reveals who Jesus is and what he came to do. And John does this in a way that implies why we need Jesus Christ. The imagery of the title, it takes us back to the book of Genesis, to Genesis chapter 22, so that we can remember this truth that the Lord promised to provide a sacrifice for our sins. In Genesis 22, remember that the Lord called Abraham to go to Mount Moriah, and he commanded Abraham to sacrifice the promised son, Isaac, on that mountain. But at the last moment, as Abraham had bound Isaac and put him on the altar and had raised the knife and was thrusting it down to kill his son, the Lord stopped his hand and showed him a ram caught in the thicket. The Lord provided on that day. And on that day, Abraham named that place, the place consequently, which is where the temple ultimately would stand, he named that place, "The Lord will provide." The lamb caught in the thicket in Genesis 22 was a symbol of God's own son who would one day come as our sacrifice for sin. And as John the Baptist sees Jesus Christ walking toward him, it is like he looked into the thicket and saw the ram caught on Mount Moriah. And John sees the Lamb of God that he had provided and had promised. Well, Jesus was not just the lamb or the fulfillment of the lamb from Mount Moriah. He represented all the lambs of the scriptures. And if you remember what you've read in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, there were many lambs sacrificed in that system of sacrifice in the Old Testament. There was a Passover lamb whose blood was put on the door frames of the houses of Israel. We find this in Exodus 12:12. There was a lamb of the burnt offering, an atoning offering in Leviticus chapter 1. There was a lamb for the trespass or sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4. And then when we move on to Isaiah chapter 53, we see the servant of the Lord. The servant came as is to come as the sin-bearing lamb who would sacrifice himself for our sins. He was to grow up as a member of the flock of Israel. He was to be one of us, a man. This servant, this promised lamb, was to take on our sins as a substitute on the cross. Isaiah says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was made an offering for our sin." The Old Testament was full of lambs that symbolized atonement or the taking away of our sins. But each of these lambs that we've read about and know about in the Old Testament, they were not the end in themselves. They were simply a symbol of the true lamb, the eschatological lamb, the lamb that was in the future that God had promised to send. Each of these lambs was a symbol that anticipated the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sin of the world. With this title for Jesus Christ, John shows us our greatest problem and our greatest need. That problem is simple. It's sin. Jesus came for the purpose of taking away our sin. Contrary to popular opinion of the time, the Messiah did not come to redeem Israel from Rome. See, Rome was the least of their problems. Jesus came to redeem Israel and the rest of the world from sin and the wrath of God due to us for sin. He came to take away that sin that enslaves us, because redemption is our greatest need. Now, sometimes it may seem like your problem is a lack of money. And that seems to be our problem today in this economy. Maybe you think that your problem is that difficult, that big deadline, or the impossible goal that you have to meet next week. The problem may seem to be the way you treat your kids after a long day. The problem may seem like many, many other things, but here John implies that Jesus is not a self-help solution. He's much more. He came to solve the real problem in your soul. He came to meet your greatest need, and that of the redemption from the curse due to your sin. In the prologue of the Gospel of John, those first 18 verses, John wrote that the Word came to the world and came to the church, but we did not receive him. You see, the world, including Israel, was steeped in sin. And that sin had blinded our eyes. And their rejection of Jesus Christ, it was the crowning effect of their sinful flesh, the crowning effect of the fall of Adam. They did not perceive that they needed a sin offering because they did not recognize that they were steeped in sin. The world and the church, they did not receive Jesus Christ because they didn't realize that he was their greatest need. He came to fulfill their need of redemption from sin. And in light of this need and this situation where the church and the world didn't recognize their sin, we need to realize we can learn an important lesson from the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets, again, in the Old Testament. And he came to communicate the glorious, the majesty of the Lord, the majesty of the Messiah, the wonders of what God would do in the church. But he was a man, and he was a prophet. And when the Lord called him, he taught him a lesson. He taught him to understand the majesty, the glory, and the holiness of God in light of his own sinfulness. We see this in chapter 6 of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, God gives Isaiah a vision of the Lord sitting on the throne and the glory of his presence. There were seraphim or angels flying about, and they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then when Isaiah, in this vision, he felt the world shake at the voice of the Lord, he responded this way: "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." See, at that moment, Isaiah saw clearly. He understood God's holiness and his glory, and he saw his own sinful nature in comparison to God's holiness. And then, and only then and only then was he able to fully comprehend the grace that the Lord poured out upon him. See, after Isaiah's cry, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips," the Lord sent an angel to take a burning coal and touch Isaiah's lips. And he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Isaiah was changed for life. He could never live the same way again. He now understood his own sinfulness in light of the holiness of God. And he gained a true appreciation, a true comprehension of God's grace for him. Brothers and sisters, unless you can cry out with Isaiah, "Woe is me, I am lost, I am a hopeless sinner," unless you realize the infinite distance between God's holiness and your own sin, unless you understand what you deserve, and that is simply the wrath of God. This title, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," will be meaningless until you understand that you're a desperate sinner deserving of hell. You will never comprehend the grace of God that he pours out in Jesus Christ. So to understand who Jesus Christ is and to appreciate him, you must realize your greatest need, the need of a lamb to bear your sins and redeem you from God's wrath. So do you know Jesus Christ in this life, in this light? Do you know Jesus Christ and do you think of him in light of your own sinful and lost state? Do you appreciate him now that you're a saint, knowing that had he not laid his life down for you, you would be lost, doomed to an eternal, burning and fiery death? If you do know him that way, there is hope, there is grace, there's room for rejoicing. So I encourage you to meditate upon this and think about who you are in light of who God is. And that takes us to our second point, the identification of Jesus, the Christ. We find this in verses 31 through 34, 33. Verse 31 says, "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" When John called Jesus the Lamb of God, he made a bold and dangerous claim. See, the consequences for claims like this one are great. If John the Baptist had been wrong, it would end his career as a prophet. Even worse, the Lord reveals that to Israel that a false prophet should be killed. The punishment, the consequence of being a false prophet is that you shall die. And the Lord reveals this clearly in the law in Deuteronomy 18:20. So John had a dangerous calling, but still, despite that, he announced that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promised Messiah. Jesus is that Lamb of God that we have been anticipating in the law, in the scriptures. How can a man make such a bold claim in an unbelieving world? How could you stand in the middle of the Pepsi Center in front of thousands of people and proclaim to all who are there, "Repent and believe, that Jesus is the Son of God. If you were to do this, you might be pelted with soda cups and nacho cheese, but worse, you might be arrested or beaten, or you might lose your job because you made a fool of yourself in public, and by implication, you made a fool of your employer. And how could John stick his neck out like that? And he did it most literally. He was either a fool or he was convicted of the truth. See, if he were a fool, he may not have understood the consequences. He may not have been thinking clearly and might not have known that he could die for being a prophet, or people would stone him or just cast him out or laugh at him. But if he were convicted of the true identity of Jesus Christ, and he knew it absolutely, he would not even care about the consequences. You see, once John identified Jesus as the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, nothing else mattered to him. That is the effect of the truth of God in your life. Once the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to you, your life will change forever. Nothing but the glory of Christ and your hope of heaven will matter. In verses 31 and 33, John reveals that he himself did not know Jesus as the Lamb of God. Yet his whole purpose in life was to be that man who identified and bore witness to Jesus. He was to be the prophet through whom the Holy Spirit revealed the Lamb of God. And then he was to reveal Jesus to the world. Once he, in his ministry, was presented with the Christ, he was to proclaim, "That is the Christ." He was point to him and say, "There he is." And these verses, John gives that careful witness that he was called to do and that explanation of why he knows that Jesus is the Lamb of God. See, John just doesn't guess about the identity of Christ. He didn't figure it out. He didn't conspire with Jesus at home before they went out to work. He identifies Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, not by his own intellect or his own imagination or his own reasoning, but by divine revelation. In other words, John does not speak at his own suggestion, nor for the favor of man, but by the inspiration of the Spirit and the command of God. And that brings us to think about his calling in verse 31. See, in verse 31, John reveals that he had a special calling from God. He was to be the prophet who would reveal Jesus Christ to the world. So God sent him to baptize with water, to preach repentance of sins. And through this work, through this calling, the Messiah was to be revealed to Israel. And so there he was. There he was in the wilderness, calling people to repentance and baptizing them, baptizing all those who did hear the call of God and repent of their sins. And he was pointing them to look for the Messiah. He was to prepare them to find the hope in Christ, that true hope of their salvation. But John was kind of out there. He wasn't just, I guess, out there blind, having to choose which person who was going to come, which person having to identify Christ on his own by talking to every person that came to him. You see, God gave him a sign. We learn that the Lord didn't leave John the Baptist to himself. John the Baptist professes this in verse 23. He says, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me, the Lord who sent me to baptize with water, said, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" See, John didn't realize that Christ was a Messiah. He didn't get it when he was a boy growing up near Christ. John had to be given this information. And we see that as John was baptizing with people, the people with water, that the Lord was to send the Messiah to him and identify him by divine revelation. And this sign was the Spirit descending upon him like a dove and remaining on him. Now, this sign is consistent with Isaiah 11, 42 and 63. We don't have time to go there this morning, but if you're interested in the background of it, check out those passages. So what happens is John is called as the prophet who would reveal the Messiah. He goes baptizing and calling people to repentance. And he knows what to look for. He knows how the Lord's going to reveal the Messiah. And then one day it happens. John is down by the Jordan, obediently serving the Lord. And he preaches repentance and the coming of the kingdom. He baptizes some disciples with water. And then one moment he looks up and he sees Jesus of Nazareth walking toward him. And if you would have been standing around, it may have been like the way a groom's eyes look as he sees his new bride walk into the church. The suspense is over. The moment of truth has come. The Messiah is before him. Jesus is the Word became flesh. And he walked up to John to receive baptism. Jesus' purpose was to be identified with his people, be that lamb who was raised up among the flock. So John baptizes Jesus. And after he baptizes Jesus, Matthew reveals this. In chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" You see, John saw it with his own eyes. He saw this dove descending upon Jesus. And now there's no question in his mind. God revealed to Jesus by divine revelation that the Messiah had come into the world. And so a few days later, on our second day, in verse 29, John is standing among his disciples. And Jesus walks toward him again, and this time John cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John identifies Jesus because God revealed Jesus to John. And so he boldly proclaims the good news of the coming of the Messiah. Now, we need to realize that you can only know by divine revelation. You can only truly know if God reveals truth to you. And likewise, if you want to know who Jesus Christ is, you need to look to God's revelation. You need to ask God what he says about Jesus. And so you need to look to the scriptures. And here in these verses, John claims that Jesus is the Lamb of God because God revealed this fact to him. And the apostle includes one more statement from John the Baptist. He says in verse 34, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The Word has been revealed. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came as the Lamb of God to take away your sins." And the point of this whole gospel is that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God and have eternal life. And you need to know that you do not have to believe this by blind faith. The Lord has revealed it to us through the scriptures. The Lord identified Jesus Christ by divine inspiration. And you need to know that if you are truly to comprehend what it means that Christ is the Lamb of God, you are to grow to know yourself. You are to grow to know that your greatest need is that you must escape the wrath of God through the redemption purchased by the Lamb of God. Our hope of eternal life, it rests in this Jesus Christ who was revealed by John the Baptist so many years ago in our passage. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would write on our hearts an understanding of your holiness, an understanding of your love and the grace that you have poured out on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand our sin and understand the great debt that you paid to redeem us from hell, to redeem us from your wrath. And Lord, give us faith and confidence that Christ is your Son. He is the Word became flesh. And give us a radical faith that must change the way we live, change the way we think. Give us faith like John the Baptist to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that there is forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Make us a light here as your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.